I want to finish up the series, Hope Here and Now. In Job chapter 6, verse 11, Job asks two questions. First is, he says, what strength do I have that I should still hope? What strength do I have that I should still hope? In this year that we've all been through, sometimes we think, Lord, I'm so weary. You know, it's like we're dealing with fatigue. We're dealing with stress. Some people are trending maybe even towards a little bit of depression, frustration, anger, all kinds of emotions that we deal with. And Job, you know what he went through, all the losses in his life and all the circumstances that he just didn't understand and certainly didn't like or appreciate. And so he's asking God, what strength do I still have that I should still hope? And then he asked the second question, and what prospects do I have that I should be patient? He says, so, you know, what prospect is there for me? I've lost everything. Why should I even be patient? Why should I even wait for you? What am I waiting for? Are you even there? Are you listening? Are you going to come through for me? Are you going to get me out of this mess? All these things are rolling through Job's mind. He was looking for some ray of hope in his life. Solomon obviously partially answers these questions that Job raises in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4. And he writes this, anyone who is among the living has hope. I love that. My grandfather, my pastor, always said, as long as there's breath and life in your body, there's hope. There's hope. If we're above ground, there's hope. Amen? And so there's hope this morning, no matter what you may be going through, no matter what you've been through this year, no matter the recent loss, no matter the recent illness, no matter the recent surgery, whatever you've been through or going through, there's still hope. There's still reason to hang in there with the Lord and to believe Him for better days, not only ahead, but a better day today. Right here, right now. Amen? God's still God. He hasn't changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. And He is the wonderful Father that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Amen? God is a giver. God is a giver. And He wants to bless us. So there's reason for hope because we're alive. Now, what does hope really mean? Well, I want to cover several things. Hope means to desire something with anticipation, with anticipation. You know, there's times when Kathy and I will prepare maybe for a trip, a vacation or something like that. And for Kathy, the anticipation is almost as good as the trip. Any of you ladies feel that way? Anybody? I see a couple of hands. But Kathy's like that. You know, the anticipation is almost as good as the trip. So hope means to desire something that you really want, but you desire it with anticipation. But it also means to desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment. To desire something with an expectation, not just an anticipation, but an expectation that you're going to obtain what you're hoping for, and it's going to be fulfilled for you in your life. And then the third thing, is to expect something with confidence. To expect something with confidence. You can be confident, you can be sure that God is going to come through for you, that God has a plan. Now, Kathy's mentioned to us in the last year or so on several occasions that the Lord placed in her heart three phrases that the Lord had given her in one of her daily devotionals. The three phrases are this: confidently trust, cheerfully expect, and watch in hope. I love those three phrases. We should, as Christians, in the midst of all that we're going through, we should confidently trust in God. Amen? But we should also cheerfully expect what we were just talking about, expect something from God. Because, again, God wants to bless His people. And then the final thing is we should be watching in hope, not just watching in hope for the blessed hope, the second return of Christ, but watching in hope for things that you need and desire right here and right now. Amen? We haven't got to heaven yet, and so we want God to come through for us right here, right now, with things that we need. And he's promised already to supply all of our need according to his riches and glory through Christ. Amen? We know that's the word to us already. Hebrews 12:3 tells us this: consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God doesn't want us growing weary in well-doing, for he says in due season, you're going to reap a harvest if you don't faint, if you don't quit, and if you don't give up. Amen? We can't do those things. Don't faint, don't quit, don't give up. Don't become weary in doing good. And so he says, consider what Jesus went through, everything that he endured on the way to the cross itself, death, burial, and then absolutely resurrection after that. But consider him that dealt with all of that, such opposition from sinful men, so that you and I don't grow weary and lose heart. Now, there's a note here that Kathy has in her Bible that she wrote out, and it says this: we may be weary sometimes. You and I may feel weary. We may get weary sometimes because of life circumstances. But Romans 5:5 encourages us with this: hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not disappoint us. If your hope is in the Lord, I guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. Now, you may have to wait a little bit. God may not come when you want him to, but he'll always be right on time. He may not be early, but he will never be late. He will be there for you whenever he knows the moment is exactly right. So hope does not disappoint us. So because of that fact, we should continue to hope in the Lord and what he has prepared for us. And again, not just in heaven, but what he has prepared for us right here on earth today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says this: on him, on Jesus, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. I love that word, continue. You know, the Lord doesn't just come through for us once in a while, or just come through for us only once or twice, but the Lord continues to come through for us. He will never stop blessing you. He will never stop honoring your faith and the hope that you place in him. So on Jesus, we've set our hope. That word set reminds me of concrete. You got to let concrete set. You got to let it cure. You got to let it harden. And I want us to put our hope, to set our hope. Let it firm up in Christ, our hope in him. Let it firm up in your life that he will continue to deliver us. Hebrews 10:23 encourages us to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. You know what? God is no respecter of persons. And what God did for the people back in Bible days, God will do for me and you today. What God has done maybe for someone in your family or friends or whatever, some of your acquaintances, what he's done for them, God wants to do for you as well. He's no respecter of persons. So hold unswervingly to that hope because God is faithful. God is faithful. The one who promised is going to bring it to pass. Job 11:18 says this: you will be secure because there is hope. We all have this need for security, to know that, okay, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. If you had a great parent or a great set of parents, they would instill that in you. They would instill security in you because you would know that they're working on your behalf. They are going to protect you. They're going to guard you. They're going to guide you. They're there for you. And so you're secure because there's hope. We need that security, and only the Lord can provide the security that we need in these troubled times. Not just now, but what we're going to face in the coming year as well. We're closing out a year, and we're not far from opening up another year. And God is going to be faithful to us in 2021, just as He has been in 2020. You will be secure because there's hope. David writes this in Psalm 25. We're going to look at just the first five verses. He says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor don't let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse." And then he prays this great prayer, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." I love that. David said, "My hope, Father, it's in you all day long. I'm not looking to anyone else. I'm not looking any place else, but I'm looking to you." David went through so many difficulties in his life. Some of it was of his own making. He reaped what he sowed. He paid a price in his own family for the sins that he committed. But he said, "In spite of all of that, I've received forgiveness, and Lord, my hope is in you all day long." Praise God. I want us to turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33 in verse number 18. I want to pick up there. It says this, "But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love." You know, that's one of the greatest things. In fact, it's the greatest thing about Jesus is that His love never fails. The love of Christ is what drew me to the Lord. And the people of God in my home church, they loved me into the kingdom of God. They really did. And to experience the love of Jesus was the greatest thing in my life. So he says, "The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him and on those whose hope is in His unfailing love." God's love will never fail. It will never change. It will never run out. It's always there, His love for me and you. And we can stake our lives on that. That's a real reason to hope. And so he says, but not only are His eyes on those of us that hope in His unfailing love, but the next verse says, "But also to deliver us from death and to keep us alive, even in famine." The Bible talks about in the last days, perilous times, talks about famines, pestilences, talks about earthquakes, all kinds of natural disasters, man-made disasters, talks about signs in the heavens, all kinds of things. But he says that I'm going to deliver them from death, and I'm going to even keep them alive in the midst of famine. No matter what's going on, he said, you're going to be okay. Verse 20, "We wait in hope. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him, our hearts rejoice." Why? "For we trust in His holy name." May your unfailing love, he closes it with this prayer. He says, "May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord." I love that word, rest. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord. May it come and just settle on us. May it remain on us. Let it never leave us, right? He says, "But do it even as we put our hope in you." There's the key there. Our part is to put our hope in Him. And as we do that, His unfailing love is going to automatically stay, remain, and rest upon us. I love that. Psalm 130, verse 5 tells us this, "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word, I put my hope." Guys, for the rest of this year, and especially this coming year where we're still facing an uncertain future in our country, we're going to have a new president, it looks like. We're still battling this COVID thing. We don't see an end very close in sight for all of that. And so we need to just remember, we need to remember that we need to wait upon the Lord. Our soul needs to wait for Him, listen for His voice. We need to go to His Word. He says, in His Word I put my hope. So this coming year, and as we close out this year, we've got to go to the Word. Let's get into prayer. Let's get into the Word. Let's be more faithful to God's house. I know it's been hard. You know, and there's fear and there's anxiety and there's all kinds of stuff, emotions going on. And you know, people have different opinions. And, you know, there seems to be so much division and stuff in our country, strife and blah, blah, blah. But I want us to get back to prayer. Get back to the Word. Spend that time daily with the Lord. I know I'm preaching to the choir for the most part here, but we've got to be diligent about prayer and the Word, faithfulness to His house. Those things are going to strengthen us for the journey. Those things will give us joy for the journey. We're going to talk about that next week, about joy and how we need that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Psalm 119 verses 49 and 50 follows up what we just talked about with this. And he writes, remember your word to your servant. The word is so important. For you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. The word of God is nothing but a promise book from God to each one of his children. It's full of promises that you and I can claim, that we can stand on, that we can just throw out there to the Lord, you know, and say, Lord, you said this, you wrote this, so I'm going to believe you to come through in this area of my life. There's a need, and I'm believing you to hear and to answer prayer. Your promise literally preserves my life. Why? Because his word is life. And his word gives life to us. Jesus is the living word. We have the written word before us. We just have got to dig into it and mine all of those promises out of the word and into our hearts and into our lives. That's what we need to do. Micah 7:7 says this, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. And I love this next phrase. My God will hear me. That's a powerful statement. That's a faith statement there. He's saying, you know what? No matter what I'm dealing with, no matter what I'm going through, I know that my God will hear me. And if he hears us, John says, we'll receive the answers to the petitions that we've asked of him because we know that he hears us. In Isaiah 49:23, God tells us this, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. I love that. You will never be disappointed. God will never disappoint you. You may not like some things. You may not understand some things. Again, his timing might not be what you would want or I would want. But the bottom line is, you will never be disappointed by putting your hope in the Lord. And I want us to go to one of my favorite verses, if not the favorite, in Jeremiah chapter number 29, Jeremiah 29, and we're going to begin at verse number 11, my favorite verse. And he says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you, underline that word give, plans to give you hope and a future. He didn't say you had to earn it. He said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you hope, and I'm going to give you a future. Then verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you seek me with all your heart, he says, you'll find me, and I'll come through for you. Praise God. Let's go a little bit further. In Psalm 27, just a couple of verses there, 13 and 14, I want us to revisit today the key verse, the key text, if you will, in this two-part series that we've done, Hope Here and Now. And it's where David writes this, David says, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. I love that verse. David said, I'm still confident of this. No matter what I've been through, no matter what I'm going through, I have such a confidence in the Lord that I'm still going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Right here, right now, not just after I die and I inherit heaven and all of that, you know, but he said, I'm confident that I'm still going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Guys, if there's any point that I could drive into our spirit, it's this point. Be confident. We can be confident that God is going to let us see his goodness in the land of the living. You're not going to have to wait till the sweet by and by to have some of these answers. God says, I'm going to do it while you're still in the land of the living. 1 Peter 1:17 says this, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Remember, our citizenship is in heaven, those of us that know Jesus. We're citizens of a nation here on earth, but our real ultimate destination, our citizenship as Christians, is in heaven. And so let's live our lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Verse 18, for you know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Jesus paid the price. The price was his life, his very life's blood. We were bought with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was the sinless Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. It was always God's plan for Jesus to go to the cross. It was the only way to reconcile sinful humanity to a holy God. There was no other way. Jesus, God himself, had to come, Emmanuel, God with us, and live a sinless life that none of us or anyone else was ever able to live. Only Jesus lived that sinless life, the sinless Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. Through him, we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that our faith and our hope are in God. He said, if that same spirit dwells in you that raised Christ from the dead, that same spirit is going to quicken our mortal bodies. Amen? It's going to quicken our mortal bodies. And if we're alive and remain at the rapture, we're going to be quickened. We're going to just rise up to meet the Lord in the air. If we've passed already before the rapture takes place, he's going to quicken those bones. He's going to quicken those dust and ashes. And we're going to, in fact, the dead in Christ rise first. Then those of us that are alive and remain are caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, wherefore, encourage one another with those words. It's an encouragement. Your faith and your hope have to be in God. Billy Graham closes with this. I want to read this to you. He writes, Jesus Christ isn't just the center of the Bible. He is the center of our lives. By believing in him, John says, we have life in his name, through the name of Jesus. So what does this mean? First of all, it means eternal life. That's a hope for the future. We talked about that earlier in the year. We preached a message on hope for the future. And so first it means eternal life. Without Christ, we have no hope of heaven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But when we yield our lives to Christ and trust him alone for our salvation, we know that we will be with him throughout all of eternity. That's the future hope. That's all the future hope because of Christ. But Jesus also gives us life right now. That's what I'm talking about today. Hope here and now. Hope for the land of the living. The confidence that we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Jesus gives us life right now, not the artificial, unstable life that the world offers. Because what the world gives you, the world can take away. But what Jesus gives you, the world can't take it away, can't touch it, can't touch it, cannot do anything about it. And so, but Jesus offers us a life of purpose, a life of peace, a life of joy. All of those things can be ours. All of those things that we hope for in life, that we're praying for and praying about, that hope is secure. That hope is set in the Lord, and He will come through for us. So the question, is Jesus the center of your life today? Does He have first place in your heart and in your life? If someone would follow us around for the next 24 to 48 hours and watch us, just observe us, would they say that Jesus is the center of our lives? Would there be any evidence to kind of back that up? It's a thought worth pondering. And then the final question this morning, is Jesus the reason that you personally have hope for the here and now? If not, where are you placing your hope? Or who are you placing your hope in if it's not Jesus this morning?